everyone, welcome back to the Girls Who Get It podcast. I'm Julia, and today we have our special guest, Anthony.
Hi, everybody.
He's filling in for Sam today while she's living it up in Italy. I was going to say when she was going to be back. She'll be back next week, but I really don't know what day she's getting home. I feel like that's bad, but...
Well, Sam, we miss you, and we're jealous of you, so...
Yes, we are. Absolutely. So, Anthony, I'm so glad you could join me today, and the topic of our episode is going to be all things interior design, which you have much experience in.
I think I do, yeah. I'm very excited. I'm very excited to be back since my season one premiere. I'm very excited. And yes, I do have a background in interior design. So I know you just bought a house. So I've already been Pinteresting and shopping and sending you washer and dryer units and every single thing you need. So I'm excited to kind of talk through it here.
Yeah. So give us a little bit like about your background. One thing I'll say is years ago, when we were both in, we were still in community college, I think, at the time, both of us. We toured some art schools together.
Yes, we did.
With the intention of going for interior design, and I chickened out, and you did not.
I did not. I begged you relentlessly, trying to make you come with me to New York. It's fine. You have a great life now, a podcast, everything that you may not have had if you came, so... It all works out, but I always think of what could have been. And
me too.
Yeah, like I think you would have really enjoyed living in Brooklyn with me and enjoying the interior design world.
Yeah, it would have been a blast because I loved visiting you in Brooklyn.
It was so fun. I miss living there too. So I would say my background, yes, is in interior design. That's what I studied at Pratt Institute in Brooklyn. Before that, I was in community college where me and Julia used to hang out all the time, and there I studied kitchen and bathroom design. So I have a bunch of experience under my belt, and I actually graduated during the pandemic. So during that, there was a job scarcity, and I was applying to every single job in New York, every single job in DC, and I applied to one little job in the middle of nowhere in a city called Nashville, which in my thoughts was literally just like one giant farm in the middle of nowhere.
Oh my God.
I didn't realize that that's where every bachelorette party is now. And I got the job the next day. So that just kind of tells you what the market is like here in Nashville. So I had to move here, and I was the lead designer of an interior design firm here for a year, and I was doing residential work. And then I am now actually a event planner. So made a little bit of a creative switch, but I still am designing interiors. They're just interiors of parties instead of rooms.
But that's so fun. And it's something I never like thought of as part of the interior design world. But if you see these like extravagant parties, obviously someone has to put these interiors together. So
yeah, especially now that I think everything kind of blends. So it's, you know, it's not like we're doing balloon arches and, you know, just like crazy fun, like tchotchke kind of design. We're doing a lot more like residential hospitality type of feel in the event space. So I feel like residential hospitality and events all kind of have blended into one type of feeling now.
Right.
So it's fun.
What's like, oh, I bet. What's like your craziest, most, what would be like your favorite party or event that you've ever done?
I think one of my bigger ones was I did an event for Bank of America, and it was just this really beautiful island retreat off of Florida's coast, and it was just like this really beautiful 3-day event where they just spent a ton of money on all of this beautiful decor, like most of the time we have to put some money into activities and tours and all that boring stuff that's not as pretty. But they were like right. fully invested in the decor. So we just got to do some really gorgeous dinner parties. And their final night was this black and white whimsical forest theme. And I had like big white orchid trees built, and like they willowed over the tables, and we had giant aisles with like white flowers all over them. And it was just like really elegant and pretty. So
that's awesome.
It's pretty rare we get like big events like that where it's super design heavy, but when you get them, it's really great.
Well, that's cool. I'm going to remember this, like, because I've never really been to an event, but the company I work for, they throw these extravagant Christmas parties. It's like a 3-day event because there's so many employees, and they ball out. Like, I heard once they spent like $1 million on this party.
Oh, yeah, easy. I'll spend $1 million for them. Easily.
Yeah. I'll give them your name.
No, 100%. Yeah.
But I'm so excited to be able to go this year because I just want to see what all the hype's about and see if they design it well. Like who's doing this stuff. So
yeah, it's a really fun market, but I will say I do miss interior design, which is why I was so happy you wanted me to come on here and talk about that.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
You know, I think that what I love about interior design is how personal it is. And people always think like, oh, Anthony, I don't have your exact style. So, you know, I don't know if you should like design for me. And, you know, I've studied all different types of design and, you know, learned what's good and bad about each one. And I love the social and like sales aspect of interior design. So like, to me, it's almost like a puzzle, like learning about you, learning about if you have a partner, like you guys having to mend your design styles together and, you know, make this perfect harmonious space. And to me, like, that's such a fun challenge. And I miss that.
Yeah, because that's like the part, like, that's part of it is you can't just bring your personal style into every space. You have to work off of, like with me, you're going to have to work off of A, what I already have, because I have a lot of stuff, and then my style, which I would say is very different from yours. I don't know what I would call it at all, but it's eclectic.
It is very eclectic. I would say it's also very muted. But what you've been talking to me about in Sprinkles is really fun, like blues and adding a little bit more color, and you know, we'll get into it, but I think you're going to start having more fun now that you own the house instead of just renting. But we also, you know, have to take your partner into account and their style, like Puff. We have to take it.
My partner Puff.
Yes, your partner Puff has to be accounted for when we're designing. And I'm sure he's very opinionated. So
she's a girl, Anthony.
Did I just misgender Puff?
You just misgendered Puff.
I am so sorry, Puff. I'll be releasing a YouTube video after this with an apology directed at Puff. So we'll have the link in the bio. So she sorry, Puff.
You. But yeah, so I'm like so excited for, I mean, you've already given me so many good ideas and like things to do. But when you really get in here, I can't wait because I think when you see it in person, you're going to have, like,
it's going to be like you're in HGTV or visions. Something.
Yeah, exactly.
Coming to Extreme Makeover your house.
Yeah, some rooms need it. Like, I'm kind of stuck on the dining room, which we spoke a little bit about. Mm-hmm. But it's really open to the living room. So I want it to kind of mesh. But I'll tell you what I have in there right now as I'm looking at it. I have my hand-me-down dining room table from my parents, which is kind of sentimental because it was something that they bought for their first house, I think. I might be wrong on that. It was either that one or the kitchen table, but it's sentimental to me because it's from them, and I think that's when they picked out. So I really love it, and I'd love to keep it, but I have no idea how to work around it. And I have 3 similar but mismatched chairs. So
Eclectic.
open to party. Yeah, that's the eclectic part. I have a one of those really stark white IKEA bookshelves
We love it.
that I'm probably gonna move upstairs. I just didn't really have I didn't know what I wanted to do with it yet. And the people that were helping me move, I didn't want to make their lives harder. I also am not sure if it'll fit up my stairs because the stairs kind of take a turn
Yeah.
and it's kind of long.
Well, we'll figure it
So
out when I come up in 3 weeks.
yes, 3 weeks.
Excited.
But yeah, so the dining room is a sp my living room is pretty much done, and I'm open to your ideas on it, but my furniture filled it up really nicely,
Yeah.
and I'm leaving the paint color at least for now because I like it. It's cozy. The rug that I had kind of brings things together because there's blue and there's green and red, and my couch is blue, and I'm keeping the couch because Puff destroyed it already, and I can't imagine she will stop. So
Well, see, she might not like
just
the couch. So,
oh shit.
this is where
She
you have
might
to
hate it.
integrate the partner's opinions.
Oh my god, I didn't even think of that. You're so right. She hates it. Yeah, I mean it's definitely mismatched in here,
But I think that's like
but
what your first home's supposed to be. I think that's
yeah.
like, you just bought a home, you need to take whatever you can get for free.
Right,
And we'll
exactly.
label it sentimental. And, it's just that's what it kind of has to be. So I think it's all about making it work and kind of embracing the eclectic. And then, you have a mountain house. That's how we'll brand it. So you have this like mountain house in upstate New York. It's like, how
Yeah,
glamorous is that now? It's all just marketing.
yeah,
So.
so glamorous.
Yeah, so I think
When
we
I'm a
just lean into
millionaire,
that.
yeah, when I list this on Airbnb because I'm a millionaire and I can afford something way better, that's what we'll list it
Yeah,
as. And people will
exactly.
show up and be like, "What
Eclectic
the?"
mountain house dwelling. Eclectic
Yeah.
mountain
I mean,
dwelling. That sounds even crazier.
dwelling. It's a little craftsman. She's
Oh, for
cute.
sure. It's an adorable house. And I know we've talked through some stuff that, I think there's some really great ideas on how to just make minimal changes. Because, your house has great bones. It looks great. So it's not like you need to go in and do like a full gut job on this thing. So
No,
it's like
no.
just little enhancements you can do to really step it up and have it be just like a really well curated space.
Right, which is like I'm excited to do that stuff, and I was excited to like get my hands dirty, and really all I've done is paint. I want to do the floors up in the bathroom.
Oh, maybe we'll go tile
But
shopping. Like,
ooh, I would love
that would be
to.
fun.
They just put in a new tile home place at the mall. We'll have to go.
Have you done what I've been begging you to do and paint that damn ceiling?
I haven't even finished painting the room yet. I'm like halfway. And I didn't touch the ceiling yet. But I was laying in bed last night and I was looking at it and I was like, "Ugh. The white doesn't even really look that good."
No.
So I'm leaning towards doing it. I'm not going to be able to finish painting until like next week because my best friend Cass is getting married this
So
weekend, so I'll be busy.
exciting. Congrats,
Shout
Cass.
out.
That's so
Congrats to
exciting.
Cass and him. So I have a busy weekend ahead for that.
Well, you know what? Why don't you save
But
it for me? Now that I'm coming officially,
oh. Oh shit. You're not
we're gonna do it.
gonna let me not
Do you
do
think
it.
I'm gonna be in that house and not paint that ceiling?
Okay, fine. I'll wait for you. But I was like, I really don't think the white is doing anything, and the trim upstairs is like a little weird. Like there's parts of the room that have crown molding. Like as I kind of settle in, I'm noticing a lot of kind of strange things.
Yeah.
But the trim upstairs is weird, and so I feel like painting the whole room wouldn't kill, like, I'm not attached to it.
Yeah, so just for clarity, what I'm demanding Julia does is her bedroom has sloped ceilings and it like flattens at the top. And I'm just such a believer in monochromatic spaces. So I think that we need to paint that ceiling the same color as the walls. So it just eliminates any like end point to the walls and it makes it feel seamless and like you're in such a bigger room and you're gonna love it.
I think I'll be into it. I think it's gonna be cozy. And I'm not worried about it being dark or anything because I have pretty good light in my room now that I'm, if you've seen on Instagram my house tour, my empty house tour,
Yeah.
you would, I have the person that lived here, I don't even know what you would call, it's like adhesive, like to block the light out
Oh,
on the
like
windows.
contact paper or something.
Yeah,
Yeah.
and it was like I could not get this stuff off, but my brother-in-law got me like a razor blade scraper thing, so I've been working at it, and there's like half of a window open, and I have two, and it's already so much brighter, so I think the light's gonna be good.
Which is wild
And
too. I just want to say that is not a contact paper that is meant for windows. Like the contact paper that was used on your bedroom walls should put that person in prison for like 10 to 15 years because it was like it's like it's the contact paper that you use as like a liner for like your kitchen drawers. Like that's what it
yeah.
is. The contact paper, which I think could sometimes be really nice, is the ones that are like opaque but still like
Yeah.
allow in light and like they
Yeah.
have like the stained glass ones, like they have all of these different ones. And that one is
Right.
like so not that. And also, have they
No.
ever heard of drapes? Like just put
Like
up
blinds?
blackout curtains or like
I know.
blinds. Like, do not put contact paper on your windows in your bedroom. They should only, the
No.
only place I think it's appropriate is your front door. Like, if you don't want people being able to look in, then like that's where you put it.
And that's actually something I want to do because right now on my front door, I love the front door. It's like wood and it has a glass pane, like one big glass pane and window.
Yeah, no, pain is right.
Pane window. Okay, great. But she has like it's not even a curtain, it's some kind of doily folded in half and like tacked on there, which is totally not my vibe. And on top of that, there's some fake flower wreath thing. And so I will be doing something on there because I don't want people to necessarily be able to look right in.
Yeah.
But I also don't want like curtain, I don't know, I don't want to cover it up completely. So, or you know, in the bathroom, if your window's facing something like neighbors and you don't want people to see your naked bod, like put contact paper on your
Yeah.
bathroom window.
No,
Sure.
definitely. It's basically like it should not just be something that you're like jumping to. It's something that's like if you don't if it's like a weird window or a door where you can't put up a curtain rod above it, or because of, you know, cabinets being there, or it's like weirdly centered or on a bathroom wall, and like you don't want curtains hitting your knees as you're sitting on a toilet, like things like that, then yes, like that's totally fine. That makes sense.
There's a time and a place.
Yes.
That reminds me, I'm repurposing some of my curtains. In my apartment, I had really high ceilings and really high windows, like really tall windows, so I got these long curtains. And they're from Amazon. I can link them if you want. But my house, the ceilings are relatively high, but the windows are not super long, and a lot of the radiators are right under the window. Which I wouldn't want, you know, anything to get hot or catch fire or whatever. So
Yeah.
I'm getting some of those curtain hold backs, curtain tie backs, and kind of like styling my windows up a little bit. at least in my bedroom. Until when and if I want to get other ones, like, I'll do that. But I don't know, I kind of like the long curtain look.
Oh, I
I've been
love
like
a long
tying them
curtain.
up. Yeah,
I'm also such a fan of puddling. I was actually just talking to my other interior design friend about this the other day. And like, I heard some guy on TikTok who is like redoing his apartment. And he was like always giving out these design tips. And he was like, oh, do not puddle your curtains. Like, you need to have them like 1 or 2 inches off the floor. And let me just say, that's fine. You can have them 1 or 2 inches off the floor, but I will not take puddling slander. Like, it is so good looking if you buy the right type of material of drapes. Like, they need to be able to like flow nicely. Like, velvets puddle so well. Yeah. And that's like such an ideal way to have it, especially if you want to go for like more of a like very comfy, relaxed kind of feel where it's not just like straight on and, you know, like hemmed really sharply. I think that looks really good.
Cool, because that's what I have going on.
Perfect.
Not on purpose at all. They just, and they're kind of like a linen. They're not real linen because they're from Amazon and they weren't that expensive, but they, I don't know, I don't mind how they look on the floor. For the 6 months that I'll have my heat on, probably, in upstate, they will get moved to the side, but then the rest of the time, I'll just kind of let them do their thing. But yeah, that's something I didn't really think about, window treatments, when I moved in here. I'm stuck on a few things, like the kitchen, I have a back door in the kitchen, and she had like a weird homemade curtain. Not weird, I'm sorry, it wasn't weird, it was just not my style. I don't want to call it weird. And I want the window covered a little bit because I think at night I might get scared, like if some, not that someone's going to be on my deck, but I don't know, those thoughts go through my head. But I don't know if I want to contact paper that window, or like what to do on a door that's not a curtain. So
yeah, it's hard. I feel like you just have to like really evaluate the space and just see what makes more sense. But I've also, I think that for the period of your house and kind of the overall aesthetic, you could definitely get away with like a curtain that's attached to the door, and that can kind of be a cute look, and have like a little curtain that hangs down in front of the window. But I also am a fan of like the like fluted glass contact paper that looks like it's like vertically reeded. That looks really pretty.
Yeah, I like that.
And it makes it feel like it's intentional, like, to the home. You know?
Ooh, I'm going to remember that.
Yeah. I feel like that would look really good.
I'm trying to think of what else I'm, like, going to try to work on in my house. In the kitchen, there's not, like, too much I would change right now. I mean, maybe one day I'll paint the cabinets, and I'd obviously love new countertops, but the hardware has got to go. The hardware is, like, this sterile-looking, like, modern silver poles, and, like, I can't stand them.
Yeah.
But I'm also so hesitant to get something because I don't know what to do. So when you're here, you can, like, look at them and be like, okay, this vibe is going to fit. Because I've looked at, like, Home Depot, just what they have, and I've looked online, but Home Depot has nothing that would work in my mind. So I'll just wait for you. I'm not gonna get ahead of myself with that, because they work, they're functional. I just think that they are ugly.
Yeah.
So
no, I get that. How is your hunt for a washer dryer?
Oh boy. So that's the other thing. I had my plumber here last weekend or the weekend before, because he was fixing, I have like a coffin size shower in the baby bathroom downstairs, and there was a leak in that. So he was fixing that and asking me about the washer or dryer. And I showed him like the closet where it's supposed to go. And he suggested that I put a full-size washer in that closet where the hookup is. And then I could possibly put a full-size dryer like on the outside of it, right next to the door, which I would have space for, and kind of turn that into like a laundry nook. Like I could have some cabinets put in to match the other kitchen cabinets. I could put kind of like I was thinking butcher block on top of it, and kind of use that as like, I don't know, like a laundry part of the kitchen, which isn't the worst idea. I would have space for it. I was just really hoping I'd be able to keep both in the closet and out of sight. But I don't know. I don't know what my best option is. The one that you sent me, Anthony sent me a, is it GE?
I think it was GE.
GE came out with a washer dryer combo machine that apparently doesn't suck, because I think those exist, but they're not good.
Yeah, like, so the problem is Europe has it all over Europe. Like, everything in Europe has just combo. So, like, they're washer and dryers. They wash it, they dry it. But as we learned when we were in Italy, and if you remember, in Florence, we literally had a dryer washer combo, and we put our clothes in at like 4 p.m. And we were like, oh, like, we'll just let it run. Like, we know that there's like a rumor that it takes forever. It literally took the entire night until the next morning, and the clothes were still damp. Like, it was so bad.
I forgot about that.
The reason is because in Europe, they don't attach the dryer vents to it. So the dryer is just like blowing air on it, but it's not actually ventilating. So it just gets kind of like mildewy in there, which is why they hang dry everything. So in America, because America loves ease and accommodation to laziness, we invented it to be able to make sure that it gets hooked up to a dryer vent, so it actually would dry it properly, which is really great, because like if you just forget to take it out of the wash, or you know, I leave my clothes in the washer all the time when I'm like working from home. Like I'll literally at 8 a.m. like throw a load in, start working, and then forget about it, and it's like 11 o'clock, and
oh my god, yeah,
that's like my biggest fear is like mildewy smelling clothes.
It's the worst. I just rewashed a load because of that.
Yeah. So it's like, if you could just buy something that would automatically dry it after, because you could like preset it on your app or something, that would be insane. Life changing.
I just want to make an, yeah, I would love one. I also just want to say GE is not sponsoring us, but if they wanted to.
Yeah. GE.
You could send me.
We will film you a full commercial with the dryer washer combo.
Yeah. Because they run at about $2,600, and that made my dad, like, choke.
Yep.
Me too, a little bit, but here's my thought. If I were to get that, I would have enough space in the closet for just that machine. If I would get a washer-dryer, I could probably get a washer-dryer, $1,000 for both, if not less.
Yeah, right? In cool. theory.
Fine. But I'd have to find a stacker that would fit in that closet. And the issue with the closet is, I honestly don't know how she had it set up before. Because you could probably fit a stack, but it would have to be, like, the smallest that they offer. And because the stairs come down and cut off, like, a corner of the closet. It's under the stairs. So it limits the space in that way. Otherwise, it's kind of a good size closet, but that's the issue I'm having with the stack. So then I'm thinking, okay, great, I get two individual washer dryer full size, I put the washer in the closet, I put the dryer outside. How much are like these cabinets and the butcher block and the extra stuff I have to do, How much is that going to run me? Should I just get the $2,600 freaking washer dryer?
Let's put it this way. You guys have enough followers now on Instagram that if everybody donated $2 to the Julia washer dryer combo fund,
oh my god,
you can get the washer dryer of your dreams, and then she'll pay you back once GE gives her a sponsorship deal.
When GE sponsors us.
Yes.
No, I mean, that's just what's going through my mind, like what I'm considering, because like I forget my laundry in the washing machine all the time. And so I read up on this machine. I think it's kind of set up to do both cycles back to back. But if you have something in the wash that, say, you can't dry, like certain sweaters I have, or like silk whatever, you know how that goes. You can set it up where you can stop the cycle and take those things out and hang them and then dry the rest. That's something I was concerned about, that there's ways around it.
Yeah. I mean, it's like magic.
Yeah. This is a really thrilling topic.
Yeah, exactly. Let's talk about washer dryers for another 30 minutes, because I think the world needs it.
This is just real life. Anyway, let's move on to something more fun, which is the idea. I think this is fun anyway. The idea you had in my upstairs bathroom.
Which
I told you I liked the blue. It's like a darker blue, or maybe a medium dark blue, and then some trim and wainscoting on the other half of the wall, the bottom half of the wall.
Yeah. I thought it would be really beautiful, because I think, knowing Julia for so long, she has this like beautifully dark soul, and it's like in an intimate way. So it's not an insult. It's the biggest compliment. And I think that her house has the potential to like directly reflect that. So she has this like navy teal almost bathroom that's already painted. That's really pretty. But it has this like stark white trim on the bottom half, and it's very much giving like shore house, like, you know, it's giving like they wanted a beach house, but also lived at the Hudson River. So it's like, I don't know what they were trying to achieve. So I said it would be really cool if she just took that same color and just like added some black to it, if she had the paint can. So that's like a tip if you have the paint already. If not, you have to go and buy some and just, you know, find a shade and just go two layers darker and paint the bottom half that like darker tone. And I think that it would give this really cool, once again, like monochromatic feel to the space that makes it just not as jarring. Like when you step in there and you just see this like bright white and then this like navy, it's just very like 2008 bathroom reno vibes.
Yeah. And I think, so there's a bunch of wainscoting upstairs, which I don't mind. I like the kind of the hall area has a bunch of it, and I like that, and I'll leave it. But the bathroom, I could part with that look of like the white and the blue, because it's not original. Like, a lot of the trim that they put in here is obviously not original.
Yeah.
So, and I love the idea of going a little darker than the blue on top, because you still get, it's not monochromatic, although I like that for my room, you still get some kind of like
two-tone and it's like more dimensional.
So I'm a little like, some of these things make me nervous, and then I'm like, it's literally just paint, and you can paint it back, and it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
If you hate it, you paint it.
Exactly. Oh, like, who cares? Like, you own the house. Put in the time and the energy to, like, truly make it feel how you want it to.
Yeah.
I think that's just the most important thing. Because...
Yeah, and...
It's just...
I have to live here.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you're going to live there. Who knows how long you're going to live there. So, spending the first 4 months just, like, painting each of the rooms, getting them together, like, take your time to do it. I mean, I live in a one-bedroom apartment in, like, a new building, and it took me over a year to make it feel like it was finished. Like, take your time.
Yeah. And something about me is like, so I forget if I've talked about this before on the pod, but so my dad lived this kind of nomadic lifestyle doing consulting work.
Yeah.
And he did that for several years, and he always traveled very light. So he would live somewhere for 2 to 4 years just working and traveling home on the weekend. So he'd work and live there during the week, come home on the weekends to us. And he did that for years. He'd have a couch, he'd have a bed, whatever he could kind of collect when he was living in these areas, and then he could get rid of very easily. I have a hard time doing that. So when I moved to Virginia to kind of do like a similar thing, I collected a little more than he did. I still kept it pretty minimal compared to now. But then when I moved to Albany and I realized, oh, I like this job and I could see myself staying here and kind of settling in, I really like to feel comfortable. I like to have my things. I like to enjoy the space I'm in. And like, you know, in Sims, do you play Sims?
Do I play Sims?
You don't.
Yeah, of course I played Sims.
Oh, okay, good. So you know when they have like the mood and like they're happy and they have that one little like mood icon in the bottom? Yes. Where it's like, oh, they like their surroundings. I like what I see. So that's something my dad didn't care much about. He's not about to like hang pictures on the walls and paint, make it home. But I really started to do that when I moved up here. More so in my second apartment, when I realized I'd be here for a while. I didn't realize I'd be moving out of that apartment within the same year, but I hung pictures and I collected certain things, and I really felt that when I went to move it all here.
Yeah.
And it's a good amount of stuff. But I'm definitely not a minimalist. I just can't live like that. You know, I forget where I was going with that whole thing, but it's really important to me. I know it doesn't matter to a lot of people, but I really like to make my space my own.
Well, I think that's what the value of buying a house is. Like, I sit in my apartment, it's dark white, you know, I love color, I love pink, and I love, like, just putting up so much stuff. Like, I literally, like, have a blank wall in my kitchen, and I took sequin table runners and friggin' push pinned them to make an entire wall of purple sequins. So it's like the dream is to buy a house so you can spend so much time like building a curated inventory of clutter and junk and pictures and all this fun stuff that you can fill it with. So I like envy it.
Yeah, I'm really excited to be able to, like, be here now and, like, do it. And I wasted no time. I started painting, like, pretty much immediately. And I think my parents are very slow, you know, oh, what's the rush? You know, I'm in a rush to feel like I love my space and I can't wait to get there. So I want to start as soon as I can. But yeah, I don't know. I'm really excited. So back to the bathroom for 1 second.
Yeah.
Did I tell you what I wanted to do on the floor?
Well, you told me you want to change the flooring.
But I didn't tell you what I wanted to do with it.
I don't think so. I have a terrible memory. This is kind of a trend. So maybe you did.
It's okay. Me too. But I think for our next segment of this episode, we'll move into like trends you love or hate.
Oh, 100%. But before we transition... I just want to call out one thing that you said that I think is so important when people are buying houses, and it relates to the bathroom, because you were talking about how there was like all this molding all over your house and how you have no idea if it's authentic to the house or, you know, if someone added it 5 years ago who was living there, like who knows?
Right.
I beg everybody listening, like when you guys buy a house, put so much time and research into the house, the history, the design period it's from. Mm-hmm. Literally just spend one day just researching it to see if the things that you love or hate about it are actually authentic to the house. Because I'll see so many times, like, people are like, oh, you know, I don't like this flooring, but it's authentic to the house. So, like, I don't want to rip mm-hmm. it out and or whatever. And it's, you know, half the time it's really not. And people just think it is. Yeah. So don't be afraid to just do some research and, like, truly understand what your house was meant to look like when it was built.
Yeah.
That way you can rip that shit out if you don't like it. Like, yeah. Who cares? Oh.
And one thing, like, I want to add to that, it's, so I bought this, this is like a Craftsman house, it was built in 1920, 1923, one of those.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the things I think are original, and some are not, but something, the floors, which I'm super hype about, through most of the house, they're original and they're in really good condition, they're real hardwood. But I hate when I see people come in and just, like, destroy the character of a house.
Yeah.
Just, and I mean, if you buy it, it's not your style, cool, whatever, change it, I guess. But if someone were to come in here and just
put, like, white oak flooring and paint everything white.
Or worse, yeah, or worse, like, the gray.
Oh, God, the like,
laminate.
What is it called? The millennial gray house.
Millennial gray. It would kill me because, like, and there's things that I don't necessarily love. Like, I don't love dark trim, but in this house, like, I think it works and I want to leave it. And I don't even know if that's original because it looks like it was kind of newly stained. Whatever. But, like, I kind of want to stick to doing things. And there's ways to modernize and update things, of course, but I wouldn't want to come in here and put super modern touches.
Yeah.
And that's not really my taste anyway. But it would feel so wrong to me to do that. I hate when people do that.
Well, it's like you could have, like, the Twilight effect where you buy that house, you know, your eclectic mountain dwelling, and then turn yeah. it into, like, Edward Cullen's parents' house where it's like, oh, it looks like God. A business complex, like, in the middle of the woods.
Yeah.
Like, you could totally just do that. Should we just go ultra-modern?
Horrible.
Yeah.
But that's something that bugs me so much. Because, yes, it's yours. You buy it. Do whatever you want with it. But if something's not your style, just leave it for somebody else. And find something that's maybe closer to your style if you can. I know in this market, that's not
it's the hard, easiest thing to do. It's hard, but I totally understand that. Like, living in Nashville, it is the most eclectic group of people that move here. I mean, it's like everybody uh-huh. who is moving here right now, I think they said it's like 150 people a day are moving here. And it's and it's all people from, like, New York, California, like Texas. So it's like all these people coming and all they're doing is tearing down all of these neighborhoods, all of these blocks, mm-hmm. like, and developing all of these, like, weird houses that are, like, true to the regions they're coming from. So, like, you see mm-hmm. literally, like, there's a mountain right next to the highway here and it is just full of these, like, townhouses that look like they should yeah. be on, like, the Malibu shore, and you're in the middle of Tennessee. We're friggin' landlocked, so don't gaslight me and make me think I'm in the ocean. Like, it's right. horrible, and it doesn't fit in, it doesn't look good, and I hate yeah. it. Like, and I just don't understand why these people want to come here and spend $2 million on something that just feels so out of place.
Yeah. And I think it's hard because people have different styles, and sure, some things are good, but I, like, Craftsman was not necessarily my top, like, I don't know what I would picture myself in. I guess maybe more, like, cottagey or colonial or even kind of more of a farmhouse I like better, like true farmhouse, not modern, no offense, Joanna Gaines farmhouse.
You know, don't even speak her name into existence. I'm sorry. So sorry if any of you girls who get it are fans of Joanna Gaines. I just, listen, she's done a lot for the suburban community, I will say that. But I am just sick and tired, like, of everybody making their houses look exactly the same.
I know. They look the same.
Just can't do it anymore, people. And
shiplap
everything. Everything has to be, mm-hmm. like, light wood, white walls, black metals, mm-hmm. like... And listen, I am all about accessibility. That is, like, one of my goals as a designer. Half of my... Actually, I would probably say most of my stuff is either from IKEA or Target. So I am not a hater on the big box store buying. But I think that you have to be really smart about the way you curate your collection of goods and make sure that you... make authentic purchases. So, like, for example, I have dining chairs that are from Wayfair. They were like $160 for a set of four, and they were really cheap, really good deal. And then I found a CB2 dining table on Facebook Marketplace. Mm-hmm. So that was like a score. But most of my furniture is from Target, like a bunch of the accessories, but it's like, please do not just walk into the three aisle, like, square that Joanna Gaines has freaking carved out of Target and just buy everything there. I promise that even Target just has more to offer, and I'm begging.
That reminds, I just want to break down my living room now that we're on the topic, that you said, like, blend things. I have a media stand, or, like, you know, cabinet from Target, built it myself. My table's from Amazon. My rug was my Graham's vintage.
Love it.
I found a vintage, it's kind of like mid-century, little rocking chair at the Hudson Antique Warehouse that I'm so excited to take you
to. Oh my God, I cannot wait.
It's the best. So I grabbed that for, I forget what I paid for it, like $180 or something. I don't remember. But I love that little thing. And next to it, in front of it, is a Target poof that I'm sure so many people have. Don't care. My couch I got from my dad originally. It's from Bob's, and Puff has torn it up.
Oh my God, I love Bob's. Bob's Discount Furniture. Just, like, if you want to give us a sponsorship.
Sponsor us, Bob's. But then, like, some of my knickknacks, I love to antique and, like, go thrift shopping. And, like, you can really build up your space with stuff from everywhere, and it can really flow.
Yeah, don't limit yourself. That's
important to note. And Facebook Marketplace, I fucking love Facebook Marketplace. I'm on there every day.
It's like addictive. I was just on it.
It's the best. It's the best.
It's so good.
But yeah, I think that's, like, the fun in interior design sometimes too, is, like, I find myself, sometimes I'm at the store and I'll be like, oh, this is really cute. I want this. It'll be like a lamp. But then I think how fun it would be to find something in a thrift store or at an antique shop, just, like, by chance, and get it from there. So I tried to do that a lot. It's like the hunt. It's
the thrill. I also am just a fan of more is more. So to me, I mean, I have a couple of rules, but I also am bordering shopaholic tendencies. So I just believe if you are walking around Target, you know, doing your weekly stroll around every single aisle, and you find something you love, but it's like, I don't need it, just keep walking. And then if you're still thinking about it, by the time you get to the checkout aisle, you need to go get it, because life is too short. Who cares?
You're right.
Like, money's literally not real. Like,
it's not.
Like, money is not real. I don't know who makes us think, like, currency is a thing. Like,
who made this up?
Where is this money coming from? Where is it going? Like, I can't even get into that. That's, like, a whole episode on its own. Like, literally, what is money?
Conspiracy.
Like, but that's the thing. Like, if you love something, just fucking buy it. Like, who cares? And then also, go out and buy the lamp and go hunt and go to antique shops and buy it too.
Yeah.
I have like 16 lamps in my one bedroom apartment, and I am not kidding. I'm sitting on my bed right now recording this. I have two lamps next to me, a lamp in my doorway, a lamp on my desk, a floor lamp next to my couch.
Oh my God.
I have like 6 lamps that I'm looking at just sitting at my bed.
You love lamp.
I think so. My addiction used to be throw pillows, and now it's kind of turning into lamps.
Yeah. And it no, all, I love it. I love it all.
And it all started with a vintage lamp I found at a antique shop that was this like 90s postmodern like floor lamp that's like glossy white with like brass and turquoise detailing on it. And it's amazing.
So cool.
So, yeah.
But that's like the fun of interior design is like finding things and making them work in your space, which brings me back to the point of this conversation, where we started, which is like a craftsman was not my ideal pick. My dream home is like a big old farmhouse with plank floors and exposed stone and like,
yeah,
just really, but I'm going to embrace where I am and go with where I am, which is a craftsman 100-year-old house. And I think there's like fun in that where no, it's not my ideal. And could I try to make it more my ideal? Maybe. But I think it's more fun to, and more of a challenge to kind of work with what I have in front of me. And I feel like I wish people would do that more. But then I also am like, okay, well, everyone has different styles and you should do whatever you want with your own house. You freaking...
I disagree. I'm going to start a podcast where I'm a police officer for interior design. And I'm just going to go to random people's houses and police the way they like designed it. And that make sure it's like authentic. An amazing show. Yeah. Like
the Gordon Ramsay of interior design.
Exactly. And nobody signed up for it. Like their faces are blurred out the entire video because they did not consent to being on camera. And it is just going to be brutal. Because
I'm subscribing immediately. No,
please do. Because I'm just sick of it. Like everybody needs to. It's like so accessible. That's what it is. In a day and age where we have Architectural Digest tours coming out like every 6 hours of all these people's houses, we have YouTube, we have designers like everywhere, TikTok, like most people aren't very good at it, but the majority of them are giving decent advice that I believe the common person would be more than capable of taking and really transforming it. It's all just about don't rush. That's just what I beg everybody. If you take anything out of this, do not rush. That's just so important.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like it's better when you build up your items.
Yeah, truly curate it.
Take your time. Yeah, yeah, exactly. But I want to get into these trends.
Yeah, we'll play a little game. It'll be fun.
Yeah. I can't wait to hear your thoughts on some of these. I'm just scrolling through an article about 2023 interior design trends. So on this list, we have squeaky... Oh my God, it's a tongue twister for me today.
Say it 3 times fast.
Squeaky clean kitchens. And I'll just read a little description so you fully understand.
Wait, is the trend having a clean kitchen?
No. Hold on.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Let's see. Not a single bowl on the counter, and God forbid any eccentric marbling in the counter stone. The cabinets will come in a high gloss polish, but certainly never a glossy appliance in sight. Terrifying place to cook. So basically just like super stark. Like
kind of like the Kim Kardashian effect. Not even
hardware. Yeah.
Yeah.
No hardware on the cabinets. Nothing on the counters.
I hope my grandma's not listening to this because my grandma has exactly what you just described. She has a high gloss lacquered kitchen with hidden poles and a like blank quartz countertop. And I love her kitchen. It's fun. She lives outside of Miami. It's very Miami. But do not do that. A kitchen is supposed to be warm. It is supposed to be inviting. It is supposed to be used. The only time you can do that is if you're rich and you don't cook or you have a professional cooking for you and they can clean that shit up for you.
Right.
Kitchens are meant to be cooked in. They're supposed to be like My favorite thing in a kitchen is soapstone. Soapstone, if you don't know what it is the countertops that you used in your high school science class. And I know that sounds weird, but
no, I love that.
When you don't have them finished the way they do in schools, they're actually this really beautiful, rough counter that is soft to touch, but it has like a really heavy texture. And the beauty of it is that it ages so well with the way you cook. So like if you put a pot down on it, you might get like a little ding in it. Or if you spill olive oil on the counter, like you might get some discoloration. But that's what the intention of it is like it's supposed to be a space that ages with you, with the home. And like, why would you just want to live in like 2001 Space Odyssey? Like it's jarring. It is jarring.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think like it doesn't seem like it would be functional. Like,
also, like, who doesn't want to display like a cute bowl? Like, I want a bowl on the counter.
Yeah.
Okay.
I need stuff on the counter because I'm not rich, probably. But
you need a KitchenAid. Do you have a KitchenAid? That's like, you have to have a KitchenAid on your counter. Like, so
I have Drew Barrymore's knockoff from Walmart.
Wait, sponsors. I love, yes, Drew Barrymore, please sponsor. Imagine.
Not Walmart, Drew Barrymore.
Yeah, Drew Barrymore sponsor. Girls, you got it. No, that collection is gorgeous. Like,
yeah,
if anybody needs a small home appliance, you need to go there first because it is beautiful.
Yeah. And they're affordable. I got this mixer for like $100. And I will say, it's not as heavy as the KitchenAid, which is almost a
pro
plus for me. The KitchenAid probably is, I mean, it's heavy duty. But I've made bread in that thing. I've made cookies. I've made cake. Like,
oh my God, I can't wait to see it in person, like live and in action.
Yeah, no, I think it works well enough. And, I know my mom's KitchenAid, she's got this one. It's so old, but it still works. And that's the beauty of like a KitchenAid, but, it doesn't have the tilt, you know,
how
you can lift the head up because those are more expensive. So growing up, I always used that. This one, the it tilts.
So like, okay, wow, Drew. Bonus.
Yeah,
she knew she was doing.
Yeah. Okay, moving on.
Yes.
Next on the list is open floor plans. Yes or no? Hot or not?
Hot, I guess.
Hot?
I think they're hot. I mean, it depends. Like, I think it just depends on the type of home you have. If you're building a new home, hot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah.
I was watching House Hunters a lot because they put it on, do they put it on HBO? Some
streaming I think service they, has it. Yeah.
And it was like after the pandemic. So people were looking for, this one couple was looking for this huge house, but without an open floor plan because they both worked from home and they could not work in their open floor plan house.
Yeah.
There was like no space for them to each be able to work because everything was too open.
Well, I think, yeah, that's like where the asterisk comes in. It's like, I think your primary living space should be open. Like, I want to have the kitchen, the living room, and the dining room all one big room. And then you need to have your own office because, like, who wants to hear you on a Zoom call? Like, nobody.
Right.
And then I think that you should always have, like, one other living space that's off on its own as well, whether that's like a movie theater or, you know, like whatever that space is, like a playroom, whatever. But I think like that primary three should be open.
Yeah, I don't know. I have this idea in my head that like in my dream house, I have one living room, one living space that's kind of on its own. Kind of like the idea of like your grandma's house, they had a formal living room and then a den.
Yeah.
Like I'd have a kitchen and a den that's kind of open. And then the dining room, maybe it's open or maybe it's nearby. Like I'm not opposed to an open floor plan, but I also don't love it.
Yeah, I can't commit. Like I don't know. Yeah. That's why I love the idea of building my own home so you could like fully customize it. But then what I like about the thought of buying a house is they kind of already give you some parameters and you can always change it. But like it gives you a jumping off point because I love the idea of like a Victorian home where every single room is in its own space, and it's like you can make them all look so different, and like that would be really cool too.
Yeah.
So maybe it's neutral. Maybe it's not hot. I don't know.
I guess it depends. I think it depends.
Yeah. Okay, what's the next one?
It definitely depends. Next up, we have... I'm interested. I think that you would say hot. Boucle. Is that how you say it? Boucle?
Yeah, boucle.
Boucle.
I don't know. I almost think it's not hot anymore.
I thought you liked it.
I used to like it. I used to love it. And then everybody used it everywhere. And it's like, it's one of those things that I think came so fast. And I think it's leaving so fast.
Okay, I could see that. For people that don't know, how would you describe...
Boucle is kind of like, it's like almost a low pile, which just means it's like short hair, like sheep material. Mm-hmm. Like it's like fuzzy and it like... It's like little knots almost that are like fuzzy. Yeah. And it was really cute. Like, I think it's still fun. Like, if I have like a little girl's room, like I would love to throw like a boucle chair in there or something. But like everything was boucle everywhere. And it was like, I was a part of it. I was the problem. But I think I'm over it. And it's not hot anymore.
Okay. It's not hot anymore. You heard it here first.
Yeah.
Death to boucle.
Death to boucle.
Okay, I think I know how you feel about this one, although I wasn't sure about the last one. So, all white and gloomy grayish interiors.
Ugh, this is hard. All white, I'm okay on not doing all white. Like, I am not loving the all white. I love color, but I gotta give it to Miss Kim. Miss Kim K, of course. I love her house. Like, her house is so well designed. The entire thing is taupe. It is like a taupe castle, and I could eat that shit up all day and just stare at it. Like, it's beautiful.
Yeah,
but
I feel like I don't...
None of us have Kim Kardashian money, so I promise you your house won't look like that. Like, it just won't.
No, it won't. No, there's no way.
It won't.
I'm trying to picture my house looking like that, and
no, your house is gonna look like what my house looked like, and I love my mom, but growing up, our house was so brown that, like, we literally had, actually, it was both. We had a formal living room and a family room. My mom was a risk taker. I'll give her credit.
Ooh.
Our formal living room was black and white, and we had a black leather sofa with a zebra print chair and a zebra rug. And, like, this big black lacquered china cabinet. And then the family room was all brown, and it was all leopard print.
Oh, my God. You had the zoo in there.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, she's from Brooklyn, so I think that says it all. But, you know, I you could do brown fun. You could do taupe fun, but you're probably not gonna. And don't do it. It's not hot.
Just don't. I really hate gray.
Gray should gray has no place in this world.
I just feel like it's so, like, okay, so my kitchen is gray, and I don't hate it, so I'm leaving it.
Yeah.
I hate it. No, like, for some reason in there, I feel like it doesn't bother me because I've got the natural wood floors, and it's off the dining room, living room, so these are green, and I don't know. It doesn't bother me in there, but, like, when every room is gray.
Yeah, well, millennial gray, like, should literally jump off a bridge. The concept of millennial gray is horrible. If you're gonna do neutral, if you're gonna do it, it has to be a true taupe, which is just the blend of tan and gray, where you get...
Yeah.
That way you pull undertones from both, and then you really have the ability to, like, build. But, like build a richer palette. If you just do gray, like, that stark, cool gray that everybody was painting their houses in, like, 2011, it's a nightmare. Like, you feel like you're in, like, some newly renovated dental office outside of, like, a suburban area.
I agree.
You can't do it.
Yeah, I didn't pull one when I was looking at paint swatches. For the, I don't know why. Every time I talk about this room, I want to say lobby. I have no idea why.
No, I
every
love that. Time. Call it a lobby. It's not lobby. A foyer. It's a lobby.
My lobby. What the hell?
No, you should foyer, call it the parlor.
The parlor.
Yeah. It's a little yeah. small okay, to be a parlor, but.
It is. It is. I didn't pull a single gray paint swatch. I already knew I wanted, like, a pink room. Like, an adult pink room. Mm-hmm. But I was like, it's not even an option. What I did end up painting it, I know you liked Casablanca. I wanted white or really, really light taupe. I ended up, and this is a color that's trending. The guy at Lowe's even confirmed. A lot of people are doing it.
Oh yeah.
Shoot.
Like we should have brought him on the podcast as a guest.
Oh, I actually have him right here. It's the guy from Lowe's at the paint counter.
Jerry from Lowe's. The paint department.
Okay. Give me a moment. It's coming to me. What the heck is it called? It's white. This is very
anti-galactic. Like Dovetail?
No.
Because that's how everybody paints their rooms.
It starts with an S. It's from Sherwin-Williams.
Just a side note to everybody listening right now, there are over 300 shades of white. So it really so could be anything.
It matters. Oh, F. Where's my swatch? I probably threw it away. Wait, let me go look at the paint can really fast. It's really important now. Hold on.
This is the most important thing happening right at this moment.
Anthony, entertain them.
Let me think of another hot or not trend.
Yeah, hot or not.
Oh my God, I'm not good on the spot like this. I know we were just talking about...
Okay.
Oh, you know what? Green. Everybody...
Green.
I know Julie has a lot of green in her house, so this doesn't go to Julia, but to everybody else. Let's take a moment and stop painting everything green right now. I think
is that what people are doing.
I think the lighting doesn't help, like, with selfies. Like, it gives you, like, a weird... like flashback kind of moment. The undertones are a little vomity because you have to think.
Oh, I could see.
Most people have pretty orange undertones because your skin tone and that is
yeah.
a shade of tan, and then your blood is red. So if you're flushed, and the opposite of green is orange, so you get like a really weird contrast. And
okay, yeah.
And I know one of your avid listeners is Amanda, and she just painted.
Oh my God.
She just built her house, and it is all green and orange, so I'm sure she's going to come for me, but her house looks beautiful.
She's going to kill you.
But everybody else, have a fun another color. Try yellow. Yellow is so fun. I promise.
Try yellow. Wow. Give yellow a chance. I need to see Amanda's house.
Like, how cute would your kitchen be if you painted it yellow? Like, a pale yellow. Be like this sunny little, like, imagine waking up in the morning, and you're like, oh my God, look at the sun glowing in my pale yellow kitchen. It'd be so cute.
I don't hate that idea. It feels like vintage.
Yeah, it's like very 50s. Like. 50s vibe.
Yeah. Okay, I have the pink color.
All right, let's hear it. Drum roll. Insert drum roll.
Oh.
I'm like, does anybody do that or no?
No. All right. It would be me that has to
okay,
do
well,
it.
Okay, well, never mind. That's a lot of work.
Okay, it's Shoji White by Sherwin-Williams, and it's just a really nice creamy white, nothing crazy, but I'm gonna do it up with some pictures and like a cute little rug up there, so
I love it. Are you gonna do the shoe shelving idea?
What was that idea?
Remember you have like the one cabinet in there, like the
oh,
white
yeah.
one.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what the heck I'm gonna do with that. I don't know if it's gonna fit really well. Because I have kind of an antique table on the one wall.
Okay, we'll play around.
Yeah. When you see it, you can tell me.
Are there any other trends?
Let's
should
do
we like
one last
should we
trend.
Like shoot fire these like zero explanation. Are there enough left? Let me Google some.
Not really.
Let's see.
Yeah, you Google some.
La-da-da.
Here's one really. This one, I don't know how I feel about this one. TV-centered living rooms.
I think if they're family rooms, then yes, it needs to be around your TV. Like, unless you're not a TV family, then that's fine.
Because let's be real, like, what are you doing in the living room if you're a TV family besides watching TV and movies? So I don't know.
Okay, what are your thoughts on wallpaper?
Love it.
Love it. Wallpaper's the best. Yep. And I don't want it to be cute. A graphic pattern. I want it to be, like, the most obscure, like, illustration that you've ever seen in your life. Like, I want there to be, like, hidden, like, two-headed elephants in your wallpaper.
Love it. I love crazy wallpaper.
Right?
What is... It's toile?
Yeah.
With its, like, scenes? I've always loved that. I almost wanted to do that in the front room, but I don't know.
Let's see. Oh, look at this. You're ahead of the trend. The return of formal dining rooms.
Oh, my gosh.
There you go. You heard it here. Julia's a trendsetter.
Yeah, my house just happened to have a designated dining space.
Oh, God. This is ugly. Okay, so there's... it's called soft modern kitchens, which are basically... Mm. I guess they're just... black and white kitchens that have like more traditional trim detailing and like crystal chandeliers and shit like that. Terrible. To me,
yeah, no.
Especially this person's room has a black painted wood floor.
Oh.
Do not paint your wood floors. Like,
why would you do
that? You'll be my first episode of my Gordon Ramsay show. Like, do not do it. If I find out you do it, comment, and I'm coming to your house and yelling at you. Oh, did you watch the Architectural Digest tour of Emma Chamberlain's house?
No.
Okay, you have to watch it because there is this obscure light fixture that she showcases in her dining room. And I would love to hear people's opinions on it because I personally think it is awful. It is horrible. Oh, it is literally, let me see if I can pull up a picture. It is literally chains, but instead of it being metal, it is out of like green acrylic, I think. And it's basically just supposed to be like two or three like glowing orbs of light that are hung by this like chain detailing. And
we're going to have to,
I don't think it's good. I just don't. I don't get it.
We are going to post it in our stories, and you can tell us.
Oh, yeah. That would be fun. Friday. You should like, post a couple of the design trend images and have people vote.
Yeah.
That would be so cute.
Yeah, I will.
And if you guys disagree with me, I'm blocking you, even though you don't follow me. It, just know you're blocked.
You're done.
You're done. Yeah, I don't know. It's, like, something that blew up because everybody's obsessed with Emma Chamberlain. And you know, it was just this light fixture that I just think is kind of out of place. I'm gonna text you a picture of it right now so you could see it.
Yes.
But I don't know. I mean, it's cool. It's like cool in theory, but then like the house she put it in makes no sense. I don't know. And also, I just don't like the balls. Like, why do you have these balls just, like, hanging from the ceiling?
I feel like maybe it could work in a different type of space, but then the furniture and everything...
Like, to me, the room is so, like, light, bright, wood and oriental rug and, like, all this really beautiful, like, very, like, Eastern, like, European-inspired room. And then all of a sudden, you just have this, like, green acrylic chain hanging from the ceiling. And
yeah, I agree.
I love a juxtaposition just as much as the next person, but no. Emma, no. Especially because I'm pretty sure that light fixture was like $200,000.
Oh,
and I'm literally not kidding.
Wow.
So
no, I don't think it fits the space. I mean, I don't like it, but I also just don't think it fits.
Like, sorry, Emma, like, you got scammed.
Maybe like in a New York City loft bachelor pad. Exactly. I don't know, but not in that setting.
And I get it. She was being playful. She was being playful, but
she's young and playful.
Risk not worth it.
I feel like something else could have looked way better. I hope she hears this and changes her light fixture immediately.
Oh, she's going to do it immediately. She's going to say their opinion matters so much.
To me, yeah,
and
right.
We're going
to
change everything. She has nothing better to do. She's like fiending, waiting for this podcast to release, just so she knows.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, I mean, obviously.
And if anybody has a chance, if you want to see a modern house done really cool and unique, you should look at RuPaul's Architectural Digest tour. It was amazing.
Ooh, okay.
He has like a full-on disco setup in his formal living room, and it's so elegant. It's so like,
ooh,
it's so like Beyonce disco? Renaissance tour coded. Like, it was amazing.
Whoa. I will be checking that out.
Yeah. And then the iconic Dakota Johnson green kitchen. Have you not watched all of these Architectural Digest tours?
I watched hers. I haven't watched any in a long time. Hers I used to was watch so them funny. Like all.
She's
I'm
so
gonna
weird.
Go binge them. She's so weird.
She like I'm lied about having those. Lemons. That's like so funny.
She's yeah.
Or she had like a bowl of limes in Ellen? It, and then they were like, "Oh, do you like limes?" And she's like, "No, I don't know why those are here." Like
what? Like, no.
No. She's so funny, like so blasé.
Yeah. Well, Anthony, thank you so much for joining me today.
Of course.
It's been a pleasure having you.
I love being on the Girls Who Get It podcast.
I'm so glad we could bring you on for season 2. Sorry it took so long.
It's okay. I mean, I just, how about the audience? Tell them what they need me to say. Like, what do you guys want my opinion on so I could be here for season 3? Because
oh.
I have to be a recurring character or else I don't feel important. So,
no, of course. What do you guys want to talk about with Anthony for
next
season
year?
3?
In a year from
like,
now.
Like, I literally, I don't even know when season 2 is going to be over, but for season 3.
You heard it here first, people. It got renewed for season 3.
I'm sure it will.
But no, thank you for having me. And Sam, so sorry you weren't here, but you have much more fun things going on, like vacationing Europe.
I know.
So
yeah, right.
Boo.
She's living the dream. All right. Well, we will talk to you next week, and Sam will be back. Yeah.
All right. Bye.
Bye. TTYL.